Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we are just 1 week removed from the largest mass shooting in our nation's history. From news accounts on the TV, one deranged and evil individual shot and killed 49 people and left 53 others seriously injured. As we can no longer speak to the man who committed this atrocity, we can all imagine why he did such a heinous crime. Why was his heart so full of hate and the desire to murder so many people? Was it the way he was raised? Was it the messages he received as a child from his parents about what the Muslim faith taught? Was it more about what his family considered to be or not to be acceptable behavior in society? Was it his own personal struggle with the demons he had within himself that he had to struggle as he grew up to figure out his own sexual orientation and his personal identity? The factors behind what drove this man to do what he did are very complicated. Still, no matter why he did what he did, we are left feeling nauseous and incredibly sad after so many people lost their lives. This is indeed a very sad and tragic time for those who lost loved ones, for the families of these individuals, and for our nation as a whole. I mentioned to my wife, Heather, just a few days ago that when we were kids growing up, we didn't have to worry about being shot and killed when we went to school, or to church, or to the movie theater, or even when our parents went off to work in the morning. We didn't have to live with the stress and concern of wondering whether or not we would make it back home to our loved ones. That time in America seems to be gone, and that makes me profoundly sad. We seem to have forgotten the fifth commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, where God says, "You shall not murder." After telling us to honor our fathers and our mothers, the Lord commanded us to honor his gift of life, which he gave to us all. God gave us the fifth commandment so that we would honor and respect life, all lives. And yet when sin and hate and rage rear their ugly heads and fill our hearts, then horrible things like what happened in Orlando last week happen as the consequence. Have we moved so far away from the Lord as a people and as a nation that we have no concern for our neighbor and their life and well-being? Or is this the same sin that lurked in the heart of Cain when he murdered his brother Abel at the dawn of time? Watching all the coverage of the crime in our world today and the way we slaughter one another in this country and around the world, it's pretty clear that while we like to think of ourselves as being highly evolved people, we will never evolve past the grip of sin. We are simultaneously saints and sinners at the same time, and only Jesus Christ can free us from sin's deathly grip. When Heather and I lived up between Little Falls and Brainerd, we had a family who were members of one of our churches, First in Pillager. They had lost their daughter to a heinous crime when she was only 21. One night, after spending time in a bar, she told a man that he was being a bad father. She challenged him to be a better man. On the way home, he ended up beating her to death, driving her body out into the countryside, where he first tried to burn her dead remains before hiding her body in the ground. Her body was not found for over a year. Finally, Andrea's body was discovered so that her family could have a funeral and start working through their tremendous grief. One day, following Bible study in the church's basement, Andrea's mom asked me why such things happen. Try answering that question. Well, evil is real. Demons are real. Satan is real. Our own personal sin is real. There are evil influences in the world. These are not imaginary forces, nor are they confined to the pages of Holy Scripture. We heard in our gospel lesson today how Jesus freed a man possessed with a legion of demons. Yes, evil is real. Sin is real. Our own sinful choices are real, and they have consequences, both for our lives as well as for the lives of those around us. The man who murdered Andrea and then tried to cover up his crime sinned. He sinned. He unleashed hell on Andrea's family. And I told Andrea's mom that I think God was the first person to cry for Andrea's murder. God gave us all the gift of life, and he expects us to honor the gift of life, all lives. I truly do believe that God is the first person to cry when he sees his children die so needlessly. As in Andrea's case, as well as in the shootings down in Orlando, God weeps when his children sin and murder one another. We too weep for those who have died and for those who mourn their deaths. Today, the actions of an evil man in Orlando contrast starkly with the actions of our Lord Jesus Christ. While the Orlando shooter unleashed hate and death and carnage, Jesus went into a place of strangers to heal and to help a man he did not know. In our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 8, Jesus sailed east across the Sea of Galilee and came to a place called Gerasene. And there he encountered and freed a man who was possessed by a legion of demons. A Roman legion was made up of between 5 and 6,000 Roman soldiers. So clearly, this man's life was plagued with a huge amount of demons. Jesus ordered these demons to leave the man, and they did so, entering into a herd of pigs who were then drowned in a lake. Game over for the demons. Jesus sent the demons back into the abyss from whence they came. Notice here, please, what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Jesus went to a foreign place, and he encountered this poor, suffering man. Jesus did not judge this possessed man. Jesus healed and freed this man from the evil that had a stranglehold on his life. Jesus went and healed and helped a child of God, despite the man being a foreigner and not of the same faith. Jesus rid this man and his community of a horrible demonic force that was affecting all of their lives. There couldn't possibly be a more stark contrast between the hate and death the Orlando shooter unleashed last week and the healing and wholeness and peace Jesus gave to the Gerasene demoniac. This one story is not unique, though. Wherever Jesus went, he healed the sick, cast out demons, taught people about God's kingdom of love. He forgave them of their sins. Jesus included all people in God's reign of love, even those who were shunned by the society of their time. Jesus came and preached the good news of God's love for the entire world. This is what Jesus did in his words and actions, in his life and in his death. And finally, in Jesus' resurrection, Jesus showed the world that in the end, God's love will win. Jesus' resurrection showed the world that God gets the last word. Not sin, not evil, not a legion of demons, not even death itself. God gets the last word. And Jesus commands us to love one another as he has loved us. Therefore, wherever we go as God's children, and whatever context we are in, whether at home with our families on Father's Day, or we're at school with our classmates, or at work with our colleagues, or in church with our family of faith, or we're watching a movie in a movie theater, or someplace far away visiting with complete strangers, like Jesus was doing in today's gospel lesson, we are called upon, no matter where we are, to act as Jesus acted. We are called upon to heal and to help others. We are called upon to show compassion towards all people, especially those who are suffering and living in misery. Jesus did not go into a foreign territory filled with people whose faith and culture was very different than his and hurt them. That's not what he did. Absolutely not. Jesus went into a strange land and brought the kingdom of God to bear in these people's lives. Jesus came to show them what God's heart looks like. And God's heart is filled with an infinite amount of love. Love, not hate. God's heart is full of love for us and for all his children here on this earth. Which is what makes what happened in Orlando so awful, because it is so contrary to the will of God and how God expects us to treat one another. As Jesus showed compassion for the demon-possessed man of Gerasene, so we too are expected to show compassion for one another. We're on to show sympathy, mercy, and tenderness of heart toward one another and our neighbors. And it's amazing what compassion can do. On Monday, August 9th, 1993, a 31-year-old woman named Sophia White burst into a hospital nursery at UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, wielding a .38 caliber handgun. She had come gunning for Elizabeth Staten, a nurse whom she accused of stealing her husband. White fired 6 shots, hitting Staten in the wrist and in the stomach. Staten fled, and White chased her into the emergency room, firing once more. And there, with blood on her clothes and a hot pistol in her hand, the attacker was met by another nurse named Joan Black, who did the unthinkable. Black walked calmly to the gun-toting woman, hugged her, and spoke comforting words. The assailant said she didn't have anything to live for, that Staten had stolen her family. "You're in pain," Black said. "I'm sorry, but everybody has pain in their lives. I understand, and we can work it out." As they talked, the hospital invader kept her finger on the trigger. Once she began to lift the gun as if to shoot herself, Nurse Black just pushed her arm down and continued to hold her. At last, Sophia White gave the gun to the nurse. Sophia White was disarmed by a hug. It's amazing what compassion can do. In the days ahead, as followers of Jesus Christ, let's focus on acting more like Jesus. Let's try to act like Nurse Black and go to help and to heal other people. Let's practice being people of peace and reconciliation. As children of God, let's share God's heart with the world, because God's heart is a heart filled with an infinite amount of love, and the world desperately needs God's love at this time. So today, through word and sacrament, receive God's love, and then go out and share God's love with others. Amen.